looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that had taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "Well, what things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all things, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it was now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that indeed they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Oh. Good morning, church. How are you doing? Good. I don't have to start over. Of course, a lot of this, part of this would be good to start over. That first song, you guys were getting it. Pastor Hewan, is a joy to have us lead that song, and we are grateful to the work that is done each and every Sunday here. Should I bring that down? Okay. I'll do that while I'm talking. I can see it. It looks really good. It's a beautiful picture. So, you know, last week was a pretty amazing weekend, wasn't it? Easter is always so vibrant and full of energy. Is that going the right way? Occasionally it likes to go the wrong way. It's so vibrant, so full of energy. It's always a joy, even though it is physically and mentally draining for Pastor Hewan and I. If you had tried to talk to us on Monday, you wouldn't have got much coherent thought from us. We were both recovering from giving our best. And isn't that what it is about? We come here on Easter and we give our best to God. We come in our new clothes a lot of times, or our best dressed, and we are ready to praise and worship and to glorify the risen Christ, because we know what he's done in our lives. You know, we enjoy. We had so much energy last week. The room was full. Down at the riverfront, we had a great turnout for the riverfront, and I didn't fall in the water. I almost did. I almost got baptized, rebaptized. We don't believe that in Methodist Church, so I bounced out and didn't get there. But this year, it was really a beautiful morning out there. As the sun came up, you know, it started out a little chilly, but as that warmth and that sun kept growing and getting, it reminded us of the S-O-N, the Son of Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And what he does for our life to give us that warm feeling. It's just a wonderful thing. Think about it. Today's story in the scripture is an Easter story. It happened on that first Easter. But did you hear how Cleopas and his person he was walking with, how they were feeling? It was not that first Easter. The feeling that we had last Easter, last Sunday, was it? We had the joy, we had the praise, we had the worship, we were as high could be. They were as low as they could possibly be, because the Jesus, the rabbi, the prophet, who they thought was the Messiah that they had been following, had been crucified, killed. They thought everything that they had believed in was over and done with. They were in a bad place. And yet, Jesus showed up, didn't he? It's a reminder for us as we move forward every day that Jesus shows up in our lives when we most need him. The problem was, I think they were it says that they couldn't recognize him. But I think it was, in my opinion, this is not necessarily scriptural or theological, but maybe you've been there with me before. Have you ever been in a place where you're so the pressure and the weight of pain and suffering and struggle and loss are just so overwhelming that you just don't maybe think that you can go forward? And you're doing everything that you possibly can to take that next step. And don't you get so caught up in that what's happening in your life that you cannot recognize what's the good that's happening around you sometimes? I think maybe that's where they were. They were so caught up in their pain and their loss that they couldn't recognize who Jesus was. But Jesus was walking with them, and Jesus was talking to them and uncovering and opening up the scriptures to them and telling them the story that they needed to hear. They were encountering the risen Christ, and it was going to change their life. Look with me in your bulletin. You'll see the memorization verse, and then on the side there's the outline. I invite you to take time to fill out the places and write other notes so that you can look at it as you go throughout the week to be touched and to study what God did. Let's look at that memorization verse together, and let's say this together. It comes out of Luke chapter 24, verse 32. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?" Yeah, what a wonderful thing. They had encountered that risen Christ and their life was changed. Now, I want to bring it into this moment right now because you just witnessed that. You witnessed that as Cade came forward today. And hopefully throughout this past year, as Pastor Hewan has worked with the confirmands, and I know I had the opportunity to talk to them. They're a great bunch of kids, young adults, but don't let them know that. That they're growing in their faith, and Kate said, "I want to be baptized. I want to become a member of the church." And there's something in his heart. There's something in his soul that said, I want to recognize what's happening to me in my life. You know, his heart's burning. I really hope it truly is burning to know who Jesus is. My question for you, you know, we don't have to just wait for Easter, or we don't have to wait for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to have that feeling. You can have that feeling every day of your life. Do you want it? Oh, come on. You know this is participatory. Do you want to have that feeling every day of your life? I sure hope so. And so the rest of this day and the next month or so, we're going to be looking into how to make that part of your life every day. How to take, you remember what you just said in the baptismal part when Pastor Hewan, I got to find it. This is not in the script, so you got to bear with me when I find what I'm looking for. Yeah. Okay. You said this. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Cade with a community of love and forgiveness, and that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walk in the way that leads to life. Do you want that? You said it. Do you believe it? So this time that we are going to gather in journeying with Jesus is going to be about making that a reality every day of your life. So we just said that Cade's going to be a disciple. You just said you were going to be a disciple of Christ. That's what we're doing. We're going to be exploring the path to becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be a disciple, you need to know what that means. So a disciple is a follower of Jesus that is actively growing and living into the image of Christ. Just what you said in that verses, that part of the baptismal covenant that you read earlier just a little bit ago. So I want you to take a minute. I want you to step back into your mind. I want you to find the picture of Jesus that's for you. When you think of Jesus, you see that person. Or that image. Find that image in your mind right now. Think about how Jesus lived his life. Imagine you're one of the disciples and you're walking with him and you're watching him heal someone. Or you're watching him have a stranger come up to him and talk to him. How did he treat those people? What do you think the people that followed him thought of him? Do you got that picture in your mind? So if a disciple is growing and living into the image of Jesus, then they should reflect that image, shouldn't they? That image that you saw of Jesus in your mind, if we're called to be actively growing and living into that image, then we should kind of look like Jesus, shouldn't we? There was some research. They asked a bunch of young people, 16 to 29, what they thought of Christians. And this is what they said. 87% of them said that Christians are judgmental. 85% said we're hypocritical. 78% said we're old-fashioned. 75% said we're too involved with politics. 72% says we're out of touch with reality. I think our reality is different than their reality, so that we may have to... 70% said we're insensitive to others. 64% said we don't accept other faiths. This one I can't believe is true. 68% said we're boring. I'm not boring. I don't know about you. And 61% said we're confusing. Wow. These young people don't want to be a part of our church because this is what they think of us. Yuck. Huh? You know, does that really sound like Jesus? Is that the image of the Jesus that you had in your mind? Is that the image that we're projecting? You know, when I first started ministry almost 25 years ago, I can remember being introduced to my first church in Franklin Grove. And, you know, I'm scared to death. I don't know anything about, I hadn't been to seminary or anything. I just was showing up. And I got introduced to the staff parish chair. They met me outside the church, and I was a little worried they weren't going to let me in. I didn't know that's how it happened back then, and you know, so I got to meet Sherry Kemp, and she introduced me, and we went through, and you know, the rest is history. I'm there, but just a little while later, I don't know if I was actually serving there yet or I was on my way. Sherry was the chair of the staff parish at that time, and so I lived in the area, so I was at Walmart shopping. Not the Walmart we have in Dixon, because that wasn't there yet. The one down in Sterling, you know. Not the one that's there now, but the original one where Kohl's is. Are you with me? That's a while ago. Yeah. And so I'm in line buying something, and all of a sudden, I hate lines. I cannot stand to stand in a line that's very long. I look for the shortest line that I can get into. And I just get really agitated with lines, and so someone tapped me on the shoulder, and I spun around, and I realized it was Sherry, and she said, "Hi, Pastor Tim," and the only thought that went through my mind is, I hope I didn't look like I wanted to kill her, because I'm becoming a pastor. I'm supposed to have this image. You know, I'm supposed to be this loving, kind, gentle person. And if the first thing that I react is how I truly feel inside, I'm in trouble. How are you doing? Yeah. So George Barna did a research. He went out and he interviewed born-again Christians. He very narrow, you had to meet a certain criteria to be in this group of Christians. You had to be actively living out your faith. You had to be in Bible study. You had to read your Bible every day. You had to be active in worship. You know, just checking off everything that you possibly could do to be a believer. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That would be a good one. So he had interviewed this group of born-again Christians, and then he asked the same questions to a group of non-believers to see if how their answers would differ. So here's the what he did. He said, are you a loving person? 99% of the born-again people said yes. 95 said yes of the non-believers. Are you compassionate? 94, 95. Do you donate to help others? 47, 48%. Do you carry significant debt? 33 to 39. Did you volunteer in a community? 29 to 27. Do you give to the homeless or the poor? 13 and 12%. And then correct the change area. I'll come to that story in a second. But when they did this, there is no statistical difference in the born-again Christians than there was in the non-believers. Didn't we just say a minute ago that if we reflect the image of Christ, that we should look and act a whole lot different than the world does? How you doing? Huh? The last one. He gave them this story, this scenario. He says, you're getting on the bus to take in the city, you're going on a bus to go somewhere. And you give the bus driver your money for the ticket to go, and he gives you the wrong change back. He gives you too much. Do you keep it or do you give it back? Only 19% said they'd give it back. Ouch. So, how are you doing? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? hard to believe, isn't it? We're not sure. So this is where we're going for the next month or so. You know, we came out of this glory and this joy of Easter, the glory and the joy of a baptism, what that does for us and what it makes us feel. But if we're truly saying we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, then we've got to be different and act different. And as the church, it's our job, Pastor Hee-Won, myself, the other leaders of the G2 groups and all that, to find ways to help you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I don't know if you saw that. Let's do this first. What's the mission of our church? Oh, you know it. You can read it. Let's read it together. To make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by faithfully uplifting the message of Christ. So we're called to make disciples. Huh? We're called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So the church isn't about membership. It doesn't say to make members for Jesus Christ, but disciples. Disciples about being transformed into the image of Christ, right? It's about not gleaning information and knowledge, but it's about changing our behavior. Changing our behavior so it aligns with the behavior that Jesus exhibits. So, this is a discipleship roadmap. It's the big chart that's outside on the window out there. Have you seen it yet? You're going to be seeing a lot of it over the next 10, 15 years, maybe. Because this is how we're going to get from being no different than a non-believer to being someone that looks at you and says, you're different. How come you act different? How come you talk different? How come you help other people? And you can say, because I got the love of Jesus Christ in my heart. You said that a little bit ago. You wanted that fire in your soul. And so our job is to help you make that happen. And you help us make that happen. So this discipleship roadmap that is going to become part of our life as we go forward, it's divided up into some areas and chart quadrants for you. The first part of this is there's 5 attributes to being a disciple. There's probably a whole lot more, but we thought if you got these 5, you'd be in good shape. Worship. Do you praise and glorify God, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, every hour of every day? You know, worship is not just about being in this room right now. You can praise and glorify God anytime, anywhere. Do you? And we're going to talk about that. Community, are you actively involved in a community? I hate to tell you this, but you can't be a Christian on your own. It's not possible. God does not exist on his own. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, we call it. We don't necessarily understand it, but we know that it's real, and we know it exists. The Scripture unfolds it for us, doesn't name it exactly, but God is in community with his Son and the Holy Spirit. And God invites us into that community. That's what baptism is. Just Cade Reckick said when he said, yes, I want to be baptized. He's part of that community. When you, we said, remember your baptism. If I didn't say it, I'm saying it right now. If you are a member of this church, you have been baptized. You need to be in community. You need to have spiritual practices. That's why I love our prayer team. Our prayer team puts it out there in front of you continually, often, all the time. Pray, 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 pray. Pray for this, pray for that. You know, they help us to grow in our spiritual practices. Our G2 groups find ways to make that happen. Generosity and service, that's a part of our G2 groups too. Are you serving? It's more than just about yourself. You know, this thing about faith isn't about what you get. It's about how God can use you and change you as you be the hands and feet of God to the world around you. And then, are you growing in the Christ likeness? Do you look more and more like Christ each and every day? So those are the attributes of a disciple. And we're going to be looking into those each week until they run out. So next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about that. And then the other chart, this is the one, that one is downstairs in front of the chapel. The other one's right out here in front of the sanctuary. And on that one, on all both of them, across the top are the 6 stages of development of a disciple of Jesus. Searching. Are you just checking things out? Have you heard about it? Or if you saw a sign somewhere, or you drove past a church? It's amazing. You can drive just past a church or see a cross, and God will speak to you. We call that prevenient grace, that grace that comes before you know God. But God is pushing you, and so are you searching? And then all the way up to maturing, are you sharing what you know in each one of these areas of these 5 attributes? And it's a process. We talk about going on to perfection as Methodists. That's why I love being a Methodist, because I don't have to be perfect now. You know, I don't have to get it figured out before I do what I do. I can figure it out while I'm doing it. I can have God transform me while I'm doing it. Matter of fact, God can't work with an object that's sitting still. If you're not moving, you're not walking forward, you're not you're raising your hands, you're not using your voice for God, God has no reason to use you. He wants somebody that's willing to move. And that's why it's important. And this maturing thing, it's a lifetime. So whether you're 14 or 15, 10, maybe you're 90, 95. It's until you see God face to face. And then I'm not sure it's over with. I just know that how to get us to there in our belief. And this is really what I would like to say for our mission statement, to make maturing disciples for Jesus Christ. It's because you don't just get it once. You don't just check it off on the box. Matter of fact, as you look out there, I would invite you to kind of look at those squares out there and read them and say, oh, in my worship, I'm very mature. In my community, ooh, I'm not doing so. I'm right kind of in the searching part, because it says I should be part of a Bible study, or I should be part of a G2 group. But you can rate yourself in each one of those areas, and that creates your roadmap. Where do you have to work? Where do you have to grow in? We're going to be inviting you to do that and give it to us, not with your name on it, but how else are we going to know what you need? You know, it really doesn't do us any good if we assume. You know what assume means, right? If you haven't had that broken down, just ask your neighbor. They'll probably help you. And so we're going to learn. We're going to learn. So I invite you to turn in your bulletin and look at that memorization verse again with me. Let's say it together. Luke 24:32. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?" That's my prayer for you, that your heart is on fire, or that by the end of this series of journeying with Jesus, that your heart will be on fire, that you will want to become, as the next step says, I'm excited about being a maturing disciple of Jesus Christ. I'd love to, the 150 of you that are in here today, I'd love to have 150 Connect cards with checks on that. That'd make our job easy, wouldn't it, Pastor Hewan? Yeah. And then we invite you to attend or watch. That's the gift we have in our church, that we have as many or more people that watch our service on Facebook than we have in the service on Sunday. We're getting to be kind of a global church. Right here in Dixon. Amen? Amen. Amen. I invite you now to open your hearts as we sing a song to remind us about this discipleship and what it means to trust in Jesus. Pastor Hema?